Bonk.
Damn.
It's an event.
It is an event.
It is an event.
It's the feel-good event of the summer.
It is, and it is the summer season, as you know.
I do.
You were just walking outside.
Yeah, it's in the 80s, I would say that's summer. Right?
It's the hottest I've seen for Connecticut.
Yes.
Yes, I have not. This is our first Connecticut summer. New York got brutal because there was a bunch of...
asphalt.
Yeah, that was... And then you go down the subway and stuff, and it's just...
Oh,
you're packed
God.
With people, and it's underground, and it's like just... It's I love New York, but oh boy, those summers were
so
bad.
Sweaty on the subway. I remember walking downtown and just the smell of trash and the sun.
Yeah, and nothing even remotely affordable has central air, so you got to get these giant honking AC things that are really loud and they kind of work.
And it completely covers like one of the two small windows you have in your apartment.
Yeah. Oh boy, I'm glad we live in Connecticut right now.
Yeah.
New York was great. Had a great time there,
but everyone knows it's a good city. That's all everyone talks about, how great New York City is. And it's a great city.
It's great. It's
but
excellent.
I'm here to tell you, it's got some issues.
It's difficult to live there sometimes. Yes, but also very cool sometimes. But we're not talking about New York City. We're talking about the summer because we're going to do something special here. Actually, the topic of the thing isn't really the summer. It's the thing that comes after the summer. You know what summer it is, Bonk?
What's that, Dan?
Summertime!
And we're watching Swayze. That's right, Bonk. It's the summer of Swayze.
It is. I'm so excited about it.
Yes, this was a brainchild of Bonk herself. Was it before or after we watched this week's movie?
It was after.
It was after, because I think we were pretty jazzed up by the movie we're about to talk about.
We were thoroughly jazzed.
Yeah, we were real jazzed up. We were about to be dancing out of our seats there, because we watched the old Dirty Dancing.
That's right.
For the first time. But yeah, we watched it, and we liked it so much that, Bonk, you were just like, why don't we do a whole summer of Swayze? Because...
Well, yeah, I mean, I love Dirty Dancing, but Patrick Swayze, that guy's so cool.
He's extremely cool. I don't think I ever understood how cool he was until I watched this, because my Swayze history, my Swayzedex, my Swayzecon, lexicon, there's not a good way to do that. My history of watching Patrick Swayze movies is, I think I watched The Outsiders in school once, mm-hmm. but I wasn't paying attention. I saw the beginning of Ghost several times as a kid, but it scared me, so I don't think I've ever seen all of Ghost. I've never seen all of Point Break. I eventually saw Roadhouse once years ago, and I remember it being super cool. Black Dog is maybe the one Swayze movie I can think of that I've definitively sat and watched mm-hmm. beginning to end.
Yeah. It's so weird, because I know I've seen Swayze movies, but I don't know which ones I've seen. I've definitely always appreciated him and his acting and just him as a person, because he's always been so cool. But... I mean, I definitely didn't see Roadhouse. I'm really excited about watching
yes,
that.
Yes, that is part of the summer Swayze.
Roadhouse
yeah. is.
Never seen Outsiders, never seen Ghost. I'm pretty sure I've seen Point Break, but I'm all excited about this. Should we run down what we're going to be watching? I don't know the orders yet, though.
I don't know the orders either, but I'll say the ones that we're definitely going to do, because we're looking to do definitely like 4 weeks, so going through most of July. Dirty Dancing this week, mm-hmm. and then in no particular order, Roadhouse is a definite, mm-hmm. Ghost is a definite, and Point Break is
yes.
a definite. So those are definitely going to be happening here in the summer of Swayze in the coming weeks.
But it's a panning the stream event.
It is an event. We've done some events. We've done our the panties. We've done, you know, the big months of Evangelion and My Hero. But I would say Swayze and anime are two very different things. Or are they? Is he an anime character? Is Johnny Castle an anime character?
He's kind of very anime.
Maybe he is an anime
He's
character.
He's a really cool dancing guy.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, maybe this is anime.
He's a rough and tumble erotic dancer.
Is Dirty Dancing anime?
I think maybe.
Okay, cool.
One thrust of the pelvis, and it's like shockwaves down your system.
Oh, there's some pelvic grinding going on in this movie.
Mm.
So here's the thing about this movie. This was always... I want to say my mom loved this movie, and I'm pretty sure we had it on VHS. But growing up, you know, as just a boy in Kansas, it's like, well, here's a box of VHSs. Yes, let me watch Predator and Terminator and, you know, Die Hard and all these real cool dude-looking movies.
You're saying
movies.
You didn't watch Dirty Dancing
Weirdly
first?
Weirdly enough, I saw a movie called Dirty Dancing with a cover with, like, a guy and a girl in a dancey dress doing a pose and never once thought about it. And then I remember, getting older, and I think I was in high school, I was such a big Conan O'Brien fan, and he would talk at length about his love of this movie, mm-hmm. and like ran this whole campaign like nightly on late night where he was trying to get it to get a re-release in the theaters, and it succeeded. And then later they came out with like a sequel prequel thing. But I remember being like, wow, Conan really likes Dirty Dancing. What's the deal with this movie? And I don't think I knew what it was. I think I just thought it was like a rom-com or a romantic movie. And like, I don't know if I've ever seen a romantic movie. Is that a genre? Romance?
Romance? Yeah, that's a genre. I thought I didn't expect it to have as much to say as it did.
No, it's like a class warfare and like there's and like, abortion stuff going on in this.
I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be more fluff.
So did I.
Honestly, but this movie's got some heart. This movie has training montages.
Oh, yeah. That
is the way to my heart.
Yeah, we were watching a training montage, and I looked over at you, and I knew you were sold.
Well, it was like, yeah, so, you know, we'll cover the ground here, but Baby, played by Jennifer Grey, she is not a professional dancer at the beginning of this movie by any means, but there's a part where she has to step in and learn how to dance from the one and only Johnny Castle, and it's straight-up Rocky-style training montage. It is just like her going from zero to hero. Uh-huh. It's awesome.
Yeah, and, like, Johnny and her, like, she's obviously has a little crush on Johnny. He's not really reciprocating, but as they continue their training, they get closer and closer. The one thing I will say just at the top is this movie's set in, like, the early 1960s, but if you didn't tell me it was set in the early 1960s, I would have just assumed it was set in the year it was released, the 80s, because, like, the way everyone dressed and everything, like, nothing really screamed 1960s to me. Maybe the cars, but...
I mean, a lot of the way that people dressed at this resort in the Catskills is probably, if you went to some fancy pants resort in the Catskills now, I bet you'd see a lot of this. It's like suits and slacks and stuff. It's mm-hmm. nothing like... Like, I did not know it was set in 63 until this started. I thought it was set in 87.
So did I.
Yeah, and you're right. It's maybe the cars. Like, a lot of the music is, like, when people are doing, like, the lame rich people dances and mm-hmm. stuff, a lot of it is just set to what sounds like very old music, for sure. Like, music that was probably old and lame in 63 when mm-hmm. this is set. Which is kind of, like, that's what this movie is the struggle between, like, the very kind of hoity-toity, like, wealthy, like, older generation that's, like, dancing in this resort, and it's just very lame. And then... You got the cool kids.
Right.
Yeah, that's Johnny Castle.
Dirty dancing in the basement.
Yeah, they've got like this side like bungalow thing where they're all just drinking and just blaring cool
all
music.
All the staff, yeah.
Yeah, all the waiters. And then there's like dancing staff that dances for entertainment for the older people at the resort. But then like at night, they're like, all right, enough of this lame crap. Like, let's have a party.
Right.
Oh, man. I think... It was very early on when she first stumbles into that, like, bungalow party.
Yeah, that's the watermelon thing, which I thought was funny.
Yes, that was great. We both watched the, what do you call it, the movies that made us mm-hmm. on this, and they bring up, like, that's kind of an iconic line from mm-hmm. it. It is funny, because it's just that dopey, like, oh, I didn't know what to say, and you see her afterwards, you're like, okay, watermelon? What the hell?
I mean, I could totally see myself saying that, if, like, someone's like, why are you here? And I'm like,
Which, Jennifer Grey, I've not seen her really in anything besides Ferris Bueller. She's great in this.
She is great. She had a, like, rhinoplasty, I think, in the 90s or something, and then she just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth after that. I think she had a very, like, unique look.
Yeah.
And then when she got the nose job, maybe she looked more generic, and she just looked completely different, which is kind of crazy. Like, you never really hear about people at the top of their game changing their appearance so drastically they look like a completely different person.
Yeah, it'd be really noticeable if you're, like, very much in the public eye, mm-hmm. and then you do it. You see it a lot of times with people later in their careers get a bunch.
But... Yeah, especially, like, her nose was kind of one of her, like, defining features. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, she was great in this movie. She's very lovable, yeah. Very sweet, idealistic, wants to help everyone. It's hard not to like Baby.
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting because on the movies that made us, they show a bunch of the, like, early audition stuff and everything, and, like, they were immediately sold on her. But apparently her and Swayze worked together on Red Dawn and did not like each other at all. And so I guess it was just kind of tense and weird, which it doesn't come through in the movie at all.
Well, one of the people when we were watching movies that made us, I forgot which person was involved in the production that said this, but if two actors, if there is animosity there or tension, it can often, like, translate to passion on film, like the way it presents itself.
It's better than apathy.
So I guess it can work in its favor if, you know, tensions are high. It can look like there's passion.
Well, and it worked, too, for the movie because early on, like, you know, she is just kind of one of the rich squares, and then he's part of the cool kid group. So when she comes into that, like, bungalow party, you know, he kind of is like, who the fuck are you, mm-hmm. basically? And I don't know if some of that comes from their actual chemistry or if they're just good actors, but...
Well, I mean, I think, too, I don't think it could be, like, I feel like it's really important to focus on the fact that, like, these staff are probably treated like, I mean, we know they're treated by shit by the management.
Yeah, yeah.
They're probably looked down on by the, you know, vacation goers. I mean, we know that Johnny Castle, for instance, is used by women that just, like, throw him as their hotel keys, just, like, fuck him, and then...
Yeah, before their husbands are there.
Yeah, like, yeah. Just, you know, and... I think that, like, her being there is, like, why are you invading our kind of sacred space here? Like, this isn't meant for you, you know?
Yeah, we
mean?
Get to have our own real thing over here while we this is our escape from our work and all the crap we have to do during the day.
Yeah, so it wasn't just that it was just some stranger. It was like, no, what is this, you know, hoity-toity person doing here?
Yeah.
Going to cast judgments and stuff. And you do see, like, there's a lot of, like, people judging one another based on, like, class and stuff and preconceived ideas, like... you see that with Baby in the beginning when she just assumes that Johnny is the one who got Penny pregnant.
Right, right. And everyone, like her father assumes that and everything. Yeah. Like, yeah.
And her father gives Robbie, who's such an asshole, the benefit of the doubt all the time, even though he's like the biggest fucking Ayn Rand asshole in the world.
Right.
And he's the one that, like, you know, slept with Penny and got her pregnant and is also fooling around with Baby's sister. I forgot Baby's sister's name.
I do, too, but there is that part where Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze are kind of, like, on the deck, and Robbie walks around. And he's like, it looks like I picked the wrong sister, and then Swayze just kicks his ass. Yeah. I like it. It's even more embarrassing than kicking his ass. He starts to kick his ass, and it's like, ah, you're not worth this. Yeah. Get out of here. And he goes, okay, I'll leave. Like, fuck you, Robbie. Get out of here.
Yeah. There's a lot of really good moments. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the scene where her... Baby sister is, like, rehearsing for that performance. This is, like, towards the end of the movie. And she's singing that weird banana song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very odd. Like, that girl is, like, this weird comic relief at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't get a ton of screen time, but, yeah, she was interesting. She's the more, like, traditional, like, daddy's girl. Like, you know, she didn't rock the boat or anything. Like, her dad seems very, very conservative in mm-hmm. this. And Jennifer Grey is kind of more, you know, like, liberal and seems like there's some family ties.
Well, it seemed like maybe Baby's... thoughts kind of aligned with her father's, but then she starts coming out of her shell more, and it's like you know how close they are at the beginning of the movie, and obviously that splinters once he realizes that, like, oh, she is not what he thought she was, you know. Yeah. She's associating with these quote-unquote questionable people.
Yeah, it's when he has her help with the, or she has him help with the abortion, and he's just walking back. He's like, you're not who I thought you were, you know, this, like, we never talk about this again, don't tell your mother.
Yeah, that's like the main problem I have with the movie is I feel like the primary conflict between Baby and her father was, I just didn't really understand it because she seemed like a great kid. Like, she was just trying to help. And I understand in the 60s, you know, maybe ideas about people who have abortions were a lot different. But she didn't do anything wrong.
It's still, I think the way they portrayed her family and her dad specifically was very much like he would be the type that would be, like, horrified that she was even around these people, you mm-hmm. know, and, like, this stuff was even in her orbit. And I really, really liked the relationship between her and her father because it wasn't just him being the sniveling villain mm-hmm. the whole time. Like, you know, he's being a real uptight asshole, you know, but he does kind of come around. There's that great scene when they're in the gazebo overlooking the lake and they have this kind of teary scene about how they let each other down and everything. And then by the end, he kind of has the kind of the baby face turn of realizing, like, you know what? You're a woman. You're a grown woman. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like the part where he says, like, I'm a man and I'll admit when I'm wrong.
Right.
You know, and he just straight up tells Johnny Castle, like, hey, I was wrong about you. It's not like he's, like, full on, like, oh, son. Mm. It's not like that, but it's like, okay, I was wrong. Right. You guys be happy, you're adults.
And despite the fact that he obviously, you know, made judgment calls about this group of people, he still helped Penny when she was in agony after that, like, back alley abortion that she had.
Yeah, yeah.
So he kind of saved the day there. Yeah. Those kinds of elements, those are the things I was not expecting at all from this movie.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I understand now why people love this more than just, like, a fluff, you know, like, romantic comedy or something mm-hmm. like that, which I guess I assume that's what it was. Like, it really does have heart. It really is doing more. It's deceptively deep
mm-hmm.
for a movie that you just think is about dancing and romance.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally.
Yeah, I loved a lot of this, all the side casting, like all the casting period. Like I had not seen that dad before, Jerry Orbach, I think.
I've seen him in something. I couldn't put my finger on it.
I looked him up, and I guess he was on Law and Order, like for a billion years or something. I've never seen Law and Order, but apparently he's a big part of one of those. That's the one thing I know about Law and Order. We're gonna get DMCA takedown here. Pretty good.
Thanks.
A lot of the dancing scenes, specifically the dirty dancing scenes, it's, if anyone's ever been to a wedding with me and Bonk, it's basically just that.
Yeah, Dan and I dirty dance in public, only in public.
Yes, yes.
Usually when there's children around, that's when we like to do it most.
Ferociously, in the middle of intersections.
Children
every
and the
wedding.
Elderly.
Yeah.
Yeah, weddings are perfect situations for that.
Yeah.
Sometimes we'll scoop someone out who's in the middle of eating their steak plate, and we'll just like start dirty dancing with them, and they'll be kind of upset, but you know, they grow they get progressively more confused. It really doesn't work mm-hmm. out in anyone's favor, but it's something that Dan and I really enjoy doing.
Yeah, I'll dirty dance with a steak plate if I get too excited.
Yeah,
just start grinding right into it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've been known to dance with the crusted salmon and roasted potatoes.
Salmon? What is that, the L? I've seen you actually at my sister's wedding. I wouldn't call it dirty dancing, but it was ferocious
dancing. It was
dancing.
Just dirty. It certainly wasn't dancing.
Well, actually, it was a little dirty because at one point you did run onto the dance floor and start, like, aggressively shaking your ass and then turning. You kept your move all night was you would shake your ass back and forth pendulously, just back and forth and back and forth, look over your shoulder, and whoever was there, you would point at your own ass. Like, look at this. Look at this.
Wait a minute. You're making it seem like I was, like, twerking or something
no,
like
no,
that.
No, no, no. It was like, you can't see this because it's a podcast, but it was, like, shimmying back and forth, like, sticking your butt out like a cartoon.
I would kind of, if you imagine that I, like, my butt, each cheek was attached to a rope that each hand was holding, and I was kind of like, yeah.
Pulling it back and forth.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It was very cartoonish.
Yeah, and then I make eye contact with the nearest person, and I force them to look at my butt while I wiggle it.
Yeah, you just point aggressively at your butt mm-hmm. while cartoonishly waving it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was,
That's the thing, I always want to dance, but I feel like if I try to actually dance, I'm just way too self-conscious, so I'll just silly dance.
Same. I'm the exact same way. And I have to be very drunk to even do that. Mm-hmm. Like, every time I've been drunk enough, like with you at a wedding, to like actually go dance, I have a good time. It's fun. It's just so rare mm-hmm. that I do feel not self-conscious enough, because I have no ability.
Yeah, that's why I don't have any ability either. That's why I just be silly, because it's like, well,
yeah.
No one's going to take me seriously. I'll just make an idiot of myself and have fun.
Which is great, but it's like the total opposite of what Johnny Castle and, is it Penny? Is she the former Rockette?
Yes.
They do some dancing, and like it is not silly, self-conscious dancing by any means.
No, they are completely uninhibited and very good at what they do.
Very confident, and it looks real cool. It's like, wow, that's, like, there's just parts where, like, she'll put her leg directly up in the air, and he'll, like, catch it against his shoulder, and she'll go totally limp, and he'll, like, drag her. Like, it's all coordinated and everything.
Yeah.
It just looks crazy. I've never seen dancing like that.
Yeah.
It's too dirty.
It's filthy. How do they know what they're going to do? Like, how do they know, like, oh, when she moves a little this way, I'm going to do this thing?
Well, it's planned. You got to plan it.
Well, I doubt they practiced their whole dance routine.
You don't think so?
Well, I'm sure for the movie they did, but in real life, there was just a song playing, and they just grabbed each other and started dancing.
I assumed it was. Let's ask Broadway Alex. I'm sure you have to learn how to dirty dance when you're a Broadway man.
Mm.
He's probably taken a bunch of dance classes, right?
He dances in a show, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen the show, but I assume that there's probably dancing.
So he knows what's going on in this movie.
He had to learn how to do
the dirty. I don't know if they have dirty dancing classes when you're in Dear Evan Hansen or plays with the mom from Home Improvement, like we saw.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When Sweet Tarts dared to combine sweet and tart, they thought, why stop there? Why not create other exciting and unexpected combinations, like rainbows and ropes, or fruity and gummy, or chewy and more chewy? That's why they created fun treats like Sweet Tarts Twisted Rainbow Ropes, Gummies Fruity Splits, and Chewy Fusions. When you dare to combine, it's sure to blow your mind. Sweet Tarts, dare to combine. Visit SweetTartsCandy.com to shop now.
But back to the casting, it's like, yeah, so the main cast is excellent, but everyone, even people I didn't recognize before, like the dweeb guy that's like the son of the owner, or grandson of the owner of the resort, what's that guy's name? He's going after Baby, and he's like, yeah, he won me, I got six hotels.
That guy's so mousy.
Oh, but he also like had this confidence of like, oh yeah, all these girls want me, yeah? And oh, you just want to punch this guy in the face the whole time.
Yeah, all, his only card is that he has a lot of money.
Yeah.
His dad.
And they're so cartoonishly, like, bad 80s, not bad, but, like, they're 80s bad guy rich characters.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you just know the whole time. There's going to be, not a comeuppance like an 80s action movie, they're not going to die, but it's going to be, like, they're going to get what's coming to them. And this, it's via the power of dance.
Yes.
It is, they're about to have a big lame old thing to end the season at the Catskills Resort, and then fucking Johnny Castle, after being banished, comes back. And does that no one puts Baby in a corner mm-hmm. line, grabs her from the table.
Which I still don't understand that line.
It's a weird line, and they talk about it in that movies that made us. It's just like, yeah, she's not even really in a corner. There's like kind of a little concrete thing there.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, oh, she's too important to be relegated to the corner. She should be like the head of the table. But it's like a weird circular table in a crowd.
Uh-huh.
There's not like a position of prominence at this table.
Yeah.
But Johnny Castle was not into it.
Well, so they, part of the reason why Johnny and Baby get so close is, like we said, they're training for this dance show that Baby offers to fill in for Penny because Penny's hurting, Penny's about has to get the abortion that day. And when they actually perform, they don't do the lift, you know, she gets a little scared at the last minute. So there's this kind of like, question mark, like unfulfilled thing that we're all waiting to see happen.
Yeah.
And then finally at this dance blowout at the end of the movie, we get to see the lift and she gets to show off her dancing moves in front of everyone. Can you imagine if you knew someone really close, like, let's say me, like, you know me, I know you more than anyone in the world. Like, if I just started dancing really well, how confusing that would
like,
be.
Like, as good
you.
As in the movie, if you just pulled it out at a wedding, I was like, what is going on? It's like if we were walking somewhere and then I found a skateboard and picked it up and went and like grind and like jumped up and did a 900 and stuff and like showed incredible skills. What? How does he know how to do that?
It would be very confusing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a great way to finish this movie. I will say though that the main song from the film. Time of My Life. I can't imagine that being in the 60s. That's a very 80s song.
Exactly. And while that was playing, I was like, is this diegetic sound? Are the people in the audience hearing this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a situation like Back to the Future where he like brings Johnny B. Goode back to the past? And it sounded 80s for sure. But honestly, I didn't care because it fits so well.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool thing to have like Swayze storm the stage and just like grab the mic and like gives his friend a record and he's like, hey, you know, I always end this and I always dance and I'm gonna dance my way tonight.
Uh-huh.
And just gets everyone to clear off. Like no one tries to stop him.
No.
There's no security here. And so
he's not a danger to anyone. He just wants to dance.
But I love that everyone's just like, all right, let's see what this guy's got. And everyone just sits and watches and then he just kills it. And then him and Jennifer Grey just do this awesome dance to
the lift.
Yeah, they do the lift in the crowd. And then everyone starts to kind of joining in, mm-hmm. like dancing behind him and everything. It's like a very triumphant mm-hmm. 80s ending that works super duper well.
Yeah.
I thought. This movie's cool.
It is cool. The one thing I'm curious about is like the very beginning of the movie, you hear it's the only time the movie has narration. It's Baby saying like, oh, it was the summer of 63 when, you know,
right.
we went to Kellerman's or whatever she said. I thought that it would bookend the movie by like where is she still with Johnny or like you know what I mean, like go back to that, but that just was never.
I think I kind of like how the whole movie is just kind of encapsulated in this one like weekend at this resort. You know, it's like You get a sense of what happened before. You can assume what happens after. But the whole movie is very much this little time capsule of a few days at this resort, you know?
Yeah. I am also a huge sucker for summer romances, like fleeting summer romances.
That was very much this.
Yeah, I love that. Unrequited love and romance that takes place during the span of a summer is two of my favorite entertainment topics.
This was requited.
It was thoroughly requited.
This was thoroughly requited at the end.
They did it.
They did it via dance.
Yes.
And also sex. Boning and dance. They did both of the doing it.
Beautiful.
Yep. I thought it was funny that we were initially going to do Conan the Barbarian was the plan before we even thought of the Summer Swayze or any of this. We sat down to turn on Conan the Barbarian because, you know, it's impossible. Like, I know there are apps and stuff you can do, like Just Watch or, you know, to find out what streaming service out of the 8 billion has the movie you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But, Monk, you search Conan the Barbarian streaming, and sure enough, it's like, oh, Hulu. Sure enough, Hulu has a movie called Conan the Barbarian streaming. So we sat down, big buckets of popcorn ready, 3D glasses on for some reason. and then we go, and it's like, oh, it's the one where Khal Drogo is the...
it's like 2011 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, it's like, that's not what we want to watch at all. And yet, the Summer Swayze was born.
Yeah, we were just browsing, and then we were like, do you want to watch Dirty Dancing? We both agreed, and I'm glad we did.
Me too.
It was great.
And a fun thing we learned from the movies that made us, which that is streaming on Netflix, if you want to watch that, about Dirty Dancing. I think it's the first episode of that series, is that they were like, oh yeah, this weird direct-to-VHS kind of B-movie place, Vestron Video, are the distributors of this movie. And they were, you know, it was just crazy because they made just nothing movies, like little chopping mall and B-horror, which I've seen. It's great. But they never made like a big Hollywood movie.
Right.
And then this one is like an iconic movie. And they mentioned that it's in Stamford, Connecticut. And they showed the building, and I was like, that looks really familiar. And it turns out I passed that building a million times, and it's like, oh, I didn't realize that was the place that put out Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, it's right by the Lord and Taylor, which, Dan, is not a church.
Okay, so when I moved here, it's like, okay, I'm going to go on some long walks, and I walked around the area quite a bit, and I saw it looked like a mega church. I'm from Kansas, where mega churches are very prominent, massive buildings, and I saw a massive building, and it had a sign that said Lord and Taylor in some nice like cursive font. I was like, oh, I guess they got mega churches in Connecticut, too. And then, apparently, I still don't know what it is.
It's a clothing store.
Why is it so big?
It's a department store.
Why
it's
is
like
it so
Macy's.
Big?
It's got different departments. I mean, there's like men and women, and children, and maybe they have like furniture and housewares, stuff like that.
Well, it's confusing too because it is right next to an actual big church.
Yeah.
Every time I drive by, I'm just like, oh, there's that big church. Oh, wait, no, I think the thing is it's not a church. There's the church. And there's the Dirty Dancing house.
Oh, you're so cute.
I'm learning. I would recommend checking out the movies that made us. There's some interesting stuff with Eleanor Bergstein, the writer, who, like, this is very much based on her life or, like, an idealized version of her summers at this resort.
This is just a perfect summer movie.
Yeah, yeah. Some fun Billy Zane audition footage of him initially being Johnny Castle. But yeah, Bonk, great, 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 great choice for this one. I was blown away. Like, this is the type of movie I would have never seen if we didn't have this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched it, and now I'm like, oh, Patrick Swayze's awesome.
Yeah.
Dirty Dancing kicks ass.
Yeah, it was great. I've been wanting to watch this movie for a really long time, so I'm glad we finally got around to it.
Yeah, and totally, totally delivered. But yeah, that's the first entry of the Summer of Swayze. Tune in next week. We will have another Swayze film. But before we head out tonight, I can't guarantee when you're listening to this podcast. And as we're recording it,
it's daytime.
You could
just say today. Today encompasses the night as well.
Or I could just say as you are listening to this podcast.
Sure.
Okay. But before we let you go, we got a Hugh game question here.
Ooh, Hugh game.
Yes, here it is, game, Monk, as the theme song plays behind us here. Did you ever have a really bad haircut or hairstyle, and what did it look like?
When I was a kid, like very young, I had, I have really long hair now, but I had really long hair as a kid too. And when I was really young, it wasn't common knowledge how to get your hair straight like it is now. Like I had really curly hair and I hated my curly hair. I wanted straight hair. And when I would put my hair in a ponytail, the top of my hair would be straight and the bottom part that was like hanging out of the ponytail would be curly. And the top part would be straight, of course, because it was being, you know, it was held in a bun. So all that, you understand why it would be straight.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was so fucking stupid. I saw my hair in the mirror and I was like, well, the top part of my hair is straight. I'll just cut off all the curly part because I wanted just the top straight part.
Oh, wow.
And naturally, once I did that, the top part just got curly too because I couldn't put it in a ponytail anymore.
That makes sense. Okay. Yeah, so yeah.
I don't know if that was a bad haircut, but it was just misguided on my part. Now, like, now I have no, if I want my hair straight or wavy or whatever, it doesn't matter. But
your hair is awesome.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's really all I have going for me.
Stop that. None of that.
What about you, Daniel?
I think numerous times.
Did you ever have the bowl cut?
I was thinking, yeah, if we're just talking chronologically, at least once I think I had a bowl cut, but maybe just once for a few weeks or something.
Did you ever have a mullet?
Yes. So in my sixth grade picture, it's not aggressive. It's just I wanted to look like the 1-2-3 kid, Sean Waltman, also known as X-Pac, later on in his career. But I started growing my hair out and just kind of the back got long. And so I've got like a sixth grade picture, school picture, where I'm clearly trying to grow it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's just not working. So we cut that off. And then I think once I got to college, I think I just wanted to look like I was in Lynyrd Skynyrd. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to grow out a beard and long hair and carry around bottles of Jack and stuff.
Yeah, I got to say, I like when men have long hair. And I love you to death, but that was not good long hair. That was bad. And he, like, the funny thing about Dan that he shared with me is he didn't know about, like, parting his hair. So when his hair would grow down in his face, his solution was to get bangs instead of just parting his hair.
For the record, I did not know really the concept of bangs, really. I was just like, well, these hairs up front are going into my eyes. And that's annoying. So if I just shorten that and keep the rest long, then I'm good.
You didn't think to just comb it to the side and part your hair?
It was at an awkward length or wasn't really long enough. So I think it would probably flop in my face a little bit. And I was like, well, let's just cut this. And I thought that it would just work that way. The concept or word bangs never entered my brain when I was doing that. But looking back at the pictures now, where my hair is not only at that awkward, not quite long length, but still long, but I also have like bangs and I'm wearing that horrible jacket all the time. Yeah. College was a time.
Yeah.
It was a look. Oh, boy. Yeah. So, yes, I've had bad hair times. I think I tried to bring the long hair back once when I was at Game Informer and once very briefly once I was at Giant Bomb, but both of those.
Current hair choices are good. I like them.
Especially now that it's receding and I got a bald spot. There's only so much I can do. I'll just keep it short.
Yeah, but it looks great. I like when you do it like short on the sides and a little longer on top with your beard. It's hot.
Ooh. I think that's my way of doing it until I just have to, like, until the bald spot goes big enough to where I just need to, let's just.
I like your little spot. It's like I can tap it and make a wish.
Yeah?
And my wish will come true.
Do you do that when I'm asleep? Yes. I've never noticed it while I'm awake.
I rub it gently.
Oh, geez.
In a circular motion, and I make my wish, and I do my wish prayer to your little head dot.
Oh. Well, feel free to do that anytime. You don't have to sneak it while I'm asleep. You
Thanks.
Can do it while I'm awake.
I mean, I'd be doing it regardless.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, let's thank everyone,
thank you.
Patron that helps us out on patreon.com/paintingthestream. We keep it real easy. It is $5 a month. That's our only tier. We've got, let's run down what you got. You get the ad. It used to be very easy to remember because it was just like ad-free episodes. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
But we keep adding stuff. So now you got ad-free episodes.
Whoa.
You get episodes a day early.
Jeez.
You get access to our Discord.
It's a great community. Everyone's really cool in there.
It is a really cool community. It is shared with my Twitch subscribers. I'll say ours. You do Shenmue2 on twitch.tv/DanReichert.
There are a lot of great people in that.
They're great.
Everyone's awesome. You should join. If you just want fun people to talk with, that's a great community.
Yeah. You know, throughout my career, I have dealt with so many comment sections and chat, live chats and stuff like that. I can say definitively the folks at the Reichert's Market Discord it is the best community I've ever seen on the internet. So thank you all. And please join if you would like to join the fun and hop into the Reichert's Market Discord via Patreon or Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
But also, another benefit you get is you get your own personalized Bonku.
Yeah, you get your own Bonku, and it's kind of like, if I'm reading your Bonku on an episode, it's almost like that episode is dedicated to you.
It's your episode, yes.
It's your episode, and with that in mind, this episode belongs to our friend Yashar. Yashar. I believe I'm saying your name right, and I apologize if I'm not saying it right. Please let me know, and I will be sure to correct myself in a future episode. Anyway, Yashar, here is your Bonku. I am Yashar, and this is my crack an egg song. Just crack it. That's it.
I think that might be my favorite one. It's a good song. It's a good bonku.
Thanks.
You
it's
sure?
A little ditty.
That's really good. So yes, patreon.com/paintingthestream if you would like to join in there. Other than that, you can follow us at Pan the Stream on Twitter. You can give us the old 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if you want to help us out. Thanks to Tom Monda for the theme song.
Thanks, brother.
The summer of Swayze rolls on this summer month. Summer 11. Summer 11 was Grease. That's Travolta. We've done enough Travolta. This is this is Swayze's time. So join us next week for some more Swayze bonk. Thank you so much
for joining me
each and every week here on Painting the Stream. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.